Good morning, Pile. 7 o'clock. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy. Yes, he's here today.
Yes, indeed. I am. In one piece.
Yeah. Well,
ish.
Laceration on the hand, right? That was the
the
big injury from the car accident.
Yeah.
Thank goodness that was all it was.
Backhanded the windshield a little bit, so.
Yeah. So, I would think you've got a little something to whine about today.
Not really, actually. It's kind of the other way.
Could have been a lot worse.
There's really no room to whine other than the fact that.
Could have been a lot worse, right?
Yeah. My car that I love is damaged. That's about it.
So, what's the status on your beloved steed? Is it going to be
We'll find out today.
Okay.
We take it to one of the many approved collision specialists.
Gotcha.
On the list of our boy Ken Richards over at State Farm, my insurance agent.
Very good.
So, been in contact.
Ken and Jeremy treating you right?
Yeah. Jeremy might join the Half Ton of Fun bowling team this fall, maybe.
Really?
We don't know.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that'd be a big get for you guys.
It would be. Not big, literally, because I don't know if he's
talent wise
fit the name of the team, but he's very talented.
He's got a guy. He's a Nikola Jokic. He's going to probably put that entire team on his back.
Yeah, probably.
I kind of get that. Well, yeah. Not. I mean, from a playing standpoint.
Yeah, no, standpoint, absolutely.
He would be in the hospital for the rest of his life.
We have the doughy Nikola Jokic nature. He's probably the MVP level Nikola Jokic.
There we go. So I'm glad you're okay, first and foremost.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. And car will be fine. I got the little spider web from the windshield on the back of the hand here.
There you go, yeah.
So it's kind of cool looking, to be honest.
So, and immediately you were getting grief from colleagues.
Yeah.
About your driving.
Yeah. Yeah, JJ, first one in the door with driving tips. So oddly, not sitting on a phone book was not one of the tips.
Oh, yeah, which would be one applicable to him.
Yeah.
You, not so much. You're, because you tower over him.
Right.
So.
Step one, see over steering wheel.
It was a little like an old man accident, though, wasn't it? A little bit?
A little bit, kind of, yeah.
No, sorry, man. I just got to say it. But I found out.
It was an old man accident. It was wrong pedal, wrong time. Yeah,
driving into the front of the Denny's, going to the early bird special. It was a little bit like that. A little bit like that. But that stuff happens. Happens.
The two gentlemen who I ran into, very very nice, very concerned about my bleeding hand. I'm like, I'm more concerned about them. They were fine. They had a tank of a pickup truck, so. Like, the truck just laughed when my car hit it.
It's like hey.
What are you going to do? So, yeah.
Yeah.
First ever airbag deployment. Almost made it to 40.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had that situation. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've been in like five different accidents, which Cake was, what?
Yeah, drives.
But when you don't get over, when you don't come over close to the speed limit, you're probably never going to have that happen, no. Not all the accidents I've been involved with were my fault.
Right.
So, some yes, some no. But one more thing is, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. I am.
I wish I had the thing you always play for me, seniors, while... I wish I had that for you.
Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel... can still serve a
mix
purpose.
Because that would
apply to you today.
Yeah.
That would apply.
Yeah, definitely. That was the least fun part of explaining it, was the fact that, I straight up old manned it.
So, Mr. Van Gelder, while you're investigating this accident, can you tell us what happened? Well,
my fiance was standing with me while we were waiting for CSP to show up, and they pull in, and I'm like, oh, please don't be guys that listen to the show. Please don't be guys. And I don't think they were. So I was like, whew. Because we have a couple.
Yeah, because I've encountered one of them. And
we have a couple, GJPD
officers.
They gave
me some grace. Thank goodness. They gave me some grace.
We have some sheriff's deputies.
Yeah.
I think our buddy Jeff just got a major honor from, I think he graduated to an investigative school, maybe something like that. he's listened to the show for years from the sheriff's department.
Congratulations to him.
So, but yeah, I was like, please don't be. And she's like, what? I'm like, I just hope they don't listen to the show. Yeah.
No, glad you're okay, but we're writing you a big fat ticket.
The guy that hopped out of the passenger side, I'm like, does this dude's mama know he's playing cop? They were very nice. They were very pleasant.
So you're saying he was very young looking?
He was very young. I don't think he started shaving young. So, but nice guy. Very nice.
Hopefully you just kept your mouth quiet.
I kept it to myself.
Didn't use your wiseacre-y inclinations.
The guy I pissed off is when we got to the hospital. And like you kind of know how I operate once I'm tired and stressed and it's at the end of the day.
Yeah, because I heard you on the other end of the phone when I was talking to Karen. That's why I knew, okay, he's fine.
Yeah.
Because it was...
I was grumpy. And we get in and we're checking in and the nurse is looking over my hand and everything and the dude's asking questions. He's like, oh, so where did this happen? Blah, blah. Where's the damage on the car? I'm like, the outside of
the outside of the car.
He looks at me. He's like, that's not what I meant. I'm like, sorry. I did apologize for being a jerk, but... I was supposed like, to be a,
okay, what location on the car?
Come on, man. Where do you think
outside.
The car's
outside.
Like the car's in a parking lot. It's
was it
fine.
Injured? Was the front injured? The back injured? The side? Is he supposed to get it overly specific with you?
Who are you taking the report for? Me or the car?
Yeah.
Where's your car hurt? Doesn't matter. My hand's bleeding. Come on.
The car will
pick up the pace here, fellas.
We'll sort that out later. I've got the red stuff oozing out of me here right now.
Also, couldn't keep my mouth shut in the waiting room a little bit. There was another lady there with her daughter.
Uh-huh.
The daughter was, you know, two years old, just being enamored with the stuff out of the purse, right? So credit cards, throw them on the floor. Cash, throw it on the floor. It's that stuff. Mom bends down to pick it up. Kid just whacks the mom on the head. I'm like, oh, man.
Ooh.
Everybody looks. I'm like, sorry.
Sorry about that. I've just been in a car wreck.
That was the hardest hit of the night. It was great.
All right. Well, speaking of hard hits last night, that's how we segue here on the program this morning. Yes. The Avalanche, 54 shots last night.
Man, a lot.
Jordan Binnington felt like a duck in a shooting gallery. But give Binnington credit. He played really well last night.
He was good. He was also lucky. Yeah. Like, they hit a
lot
of pipes.
They hit a lot of posts, but he also made some insanely good saves. Mm-hmm. But the Avalanche, 54 shots. They fired 13 in overtime. Josh Manson gets the game winner. Guy they picked up from Anaheim at the trade deadline back in March. And the Avalanche get the 3-2 overtime win last night. The captain, Gabriel Landeskog, assisting on the game winner last night. And it felt like they should have been up 5-1, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and the one goal was the O'Reilly goal where Cale Makar, a rare miscue by Cale Makar.
Also kind of bad luck, but it was a miscue.
Kind of bobbles the puck a little bit, and O'Reilly takes advantage and stuffs it in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. They have the 1-0 lead. Nichushkin comes back and gets a big goal. Sammy Girard gets a big slapper for a goal.
I was expecting that first period to be a lot worse, though. 8-day layoff.
I thought they'd come out sluggish. They came out on fire.
They were sharp last
night. Like I said, they should have been up like 5-1 in that game. As many posts they hit last night.
Mm-hmm.
And just opportunities where Binnington, the one save where he lays out to his left and looked like they were talking about, you know, looked like he could have potentially hyperextended his arm because he has to reach all the way out. I forgot who put the shot on net, but wide open net,
mm-hmm.
and he is able to come up with a save.
It wasn't Girard, was it? It may have been.
I don't remember who it was. It was, what, second period?
I know the play you're talking about.
Where he just, you know, you look leaning, trying to his right, and then has to just dive to his left and makes an incredible save. It felt like they should have been up 5-1. They dominated the game last night.
Yeah. Like, it was just tough luck that it even went into overtime.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Binnington was good. They were still getting shots past him because they were hitting the post. Yeah. They hit the post, what, 6-7 times? Something like that?
I mean, Helm had an opportunity to break away. Cogliano had one. Dang! Off the crossbar. It was Lekkonen. Lekkonen was the one that had the shot. Arturi Lekkonen. and where Bennington just makes a sensational play. And so they were off for 8 days. I think if they would have lost this game, I think it wouldn't have been a surprise, right?
Right.
Sound like Bud Black there? Right? Right?
Right. Not a surprise, right? Right. We got to pitch better. Thanks.
You know, we just missed some spots, right?
For this week, the Giants are signing our check.
Right?
Right? Right, guys?
I just, you know, I thought
right,
last night.
You're a writer. What do you know?
I think if you're an Avalanche fan, considering the time off, which I think is a legitimate concern. Legitimate concern about, yes, you want to get healthy. You want the time off. You wanted Darcy Kemper's eye, that swelling to go down. Cogliano to be available again.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest was good, but there's rest and there's too much rest.
Yeah.
There's like going into a coma kind of rest. And the Avs didn't play like that last night. They came out and played with the kind of intensity that we saw in the Nashville series.
I was fully expecting that first period to be kind of borderline unwatchable as an Avs fan.
Right.
Because I was waiting just to be frustrated with how they were playing. Sluggish. You know, taking a couple dumb penalties because
which they didn't last night.
They didn't take a penalty till like late third.
Mm-mm.
You know, they played a very clean game on top of, you know, being sharp. Like they didn't take any penalties at all, like I said, till late in the third. So it's very encouraging to see that.
It felt like when they got in the second period, they got the power play opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go make some hay while the sun is out, as my late pappy used to say. St. Louis able to kill it off. And, you know, and for Colorado, I just felt like last night, it's frustrating it went to overtime.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have gone to overtime, but it did. But the effort that you saw last night, because what's one of the things we talk about with hockey, whether it's Jackson Wilson in here from River City Sportplex or Connor, whoever, effort, enthusiasm, playing.
The want-to.
And that's pretty much in any sport. There's a level of want-to that has to exist. And we went through some of the numbers yesterday. Mm-hmm.
But you can kind of, baseball, you can kind of half-ass it a little bit sometimes. Basketball, hockey. It's playoff hockey, you really can't.
You can't. There's no shift.
You're gonna lose.
You can't take a shift off. I mean, there's not those moments in the Stanley Cup playoffs that are
cliche,
there.
It's cliche, but there's a reason it's cliche. It's because it's right.
I think as much as love the NFL playoffs, and we hear this, you know, from a lot of different people, that there's just something about the level of intensity in the NHL postseason, the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's just dramatically different than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean the guys in the NFL get playoffs don't care, or the NBA, they don't care, or Major League Baseball, they don't care. But there's just something about the effort that you see in the Stanley Cup playoffs that makes it unique and special and different. And if you haven't watched playoff hockey, then you're missing out on some incredible athletes turning it up to 11.
Thank you, Nigel.
See, Spinal Tap sequel's coming out. They're going to do a sequel.
Just let it be.
40 years later.
Just let it.
It's going to be Rob Reiner. Rob's going to direct it. Got the three guys back. Story supposedly is this, that their manager dies, and they've been broken up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Manager dies, wife inherits the band. And on their contract, they still owe her one more concert. And it's about them getting together to play, to fulfill, or she's going to sue them, to fulfill the one. And that's in that framework, okay, we'll see.
I'll watch it for free.
Yeah. I'm not going to go to the theater and watch it. Anyway.
Just let it be. I'm a little scared.
That was a different band, but that's okay.
Different British band.
What, Sex Farm Woman or whatever? It's Big Bottom.
Big Bottom.
Big Bottom. Yeah. Those are some Spinal Tap classics right there. All right, so get some thoughts about the Avalanche win last night. Look, I said St. Louis, they match up well with Colorado. O'Reilly, who's now, on five consecutive games where he scored a goal.
Sounds right.
He plays with a lot of emotion against this team.
There's still a lot of bitterness.
There's still a lot of Matt Duchene, you didn't get that. I mean, yeah, I think he's got some hard feelings with the Avalanche, but...
But Matt Duchene, and this is going to sound mean, so no offense. And here comes the offense.
Here we go.
Matt Duchene's a grown-up. You know what I mean? Matt Duchene is a big boy. He's mature. Ryan O'Reilly has gotten a little more mature, quite a bit more mature, but he's still got a little hothead.
Pardon the words, he's a red ass. And he has his issues with the Avalanche organization, mm-hmm. and he plays like that, which if you're Craig Berube and you're St. Louis, you're glad he's that way.
Yeah, you like that.
You like that about him.
To an extent.
Right. As long as it doesn't lead to stupid penalties and things like that. Speaking of that, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Nazem Kadri continues to keep himself under control. That's a good sign.
Yes, it is.
He continues to keep himself under control. But what I love last night, look, is and McKinnon, Nathan McKinnon's just the play where he skates around the back of the net and did that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's playing against a bunch of squirts, right?
Right. That's like when he says, Cale Makar, he's the best player on the ice. Like, wait, you got a mirror, don't you?
Yeah. And... Yeah, skates right there. He's going to drop it off to Makar, and then he fires one on the net and just. But O'Reilly, I think, did a pretty decent job at times when they had their kind of one-on-one matchups last night.
He's not the level of Nathan McKinnon, but Ryan O'Reilly's a pretty good player.
Pretty damn good player.
He's pretty damn good.
I'd still take him on this Avalanche roster. But it was the other guys last night. It was Nichushkin, who's played really well throughout the course of the season. It was Sammy Girard. It's Josh Manson. It's the other guys, right?
Dudes that they picked up this year. Cogliano, Manson.
Yeah.
Kemper.
Nichushkin's been there for a while.
Yeah,
but
Nichushkin's been around for a couple of years, but last night specifically, was Cogliano, Manson in overtime, Kemper,
Sammy Girard, the songbird. Sammy Girard last night.
Who, hopefully he's all right, because he was going for x-rays.
Yeah, they had to cart him off last night. Suffered a leg injury. Have not seen an update on that. So
I saw the post said he was going for x-rays.
Right.
Maybe Twitter said x-rays, but they were negative?
That's the report in the post today as well. That they're just saying that he suffered a leg injury, mm-hmm. that he had x-rays. In the post, they're not indicating whether or not what the x-rays revealed.
But it's playoff hockey. His foot could be laying on the ice.
And he'd find a way
separately,
to still get
it. Yeah. And they'd be like, lower body injury, but we're not disclosing what it is.
Right. Foot could be amputated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lower body injury. All right, 7:18. Central Florida baseball coach Marty Smith's going to join us in a few minutes.
Yes.
He's been waiting a long time. Brought his team here back-to-back years in the late 90s. And that was 98 was the last time Central Florida, the Patriots, have been in Grand Junction until now.
I don't think a player on his team was born the last time they were here.
So we'll talk with him coming up in a few minutes. And we'll have Mav Day because of the not having phones yesterday. We'll have Mav Day today with Chris Angst, Caleb Farmer, part of that as well. But right now it's time to get into.
What's happening?
All right, start things out with last night. You want to cue the music there? I'll start talking. You play the music.
Three.
Defenseman Josh Manson's overtime goal lifted the Avalanche to a 3-2 win over St. Louis last night at Ball Arena in Game 1 of the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. Manson says his first thought after the goal is protecting himself from getting mobbed by his teammates.
I was kind of just looking out because there's a lot of guys coming at me with a lot of speed. I think EJ was 3 feet off the ground when he got to me. That's a big guy, so I was just kind of holding my ground. But it was a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. You know, it feels good to get that with your team. You know, that's the best part about playoffs is it's a team effort and you get to win with your team.
Captain Gabriel Landeskog assisted on the game winner, 8:02 into overtime. Colorado and St. Louis meet again tomorrow night with pregame at 7 on the Team Sports Network. Last night, other NHL playoff games, it was Tampa Bay beating Florida 4-1. The Rockies have now dropped 12 straight to the Giants after losing to San Francisco 10-7 last night at Coors Field. Colorado starter Chad Kuhl lasted just three innings and gave up six runs with 5 earned on 8 hits. Rocky center fielder Randall Grichuk hit a 3-run home run as Cudwin wraps up the series today with pregame at 12:30 on the Team Sports Network. Defending JUCO World Series champion McLennan, Texas, will be back to defend their title. The Highlanders battled through the loser's bracket to be Midland 5-3 to claim the Southwest District title. Sneed State, Alabama, is also returning to the series after beating Wallace State Dothan 14-3 to win the South District title. Sneed State was in last year's Junior College World Series. You can catch all the action of the Alpine Bank JUCO World Series starting May 28th on the Team Sports Network. A slight scheduling change is happening for the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series due to the fireworks on Memorial Night. The first pitch will be at 6:30. This will be the first time the game start time has been moved. So once again, that'll be a 6:30 start on Memorial Day evening. Get your tickets now at JUCOGJ.org. Colorado Mesa men's golf team is in 17th place at the D2 National Championship at TPC Michigan. Mavs freshman Timmy Carvarno shot a 3-over par 75 and is tied for 37th heading into today's final round. CMU's Peter Grossenbacher is tied for 46th. The CMU track and field team will send 7 individual athletes and 1 relay team to the national meet. The Mavs' Sierra Arsenault will compete in the 100 and 200 and is part of CMU's 4x100 relay team. The national meet starts May 26th in Allendale, Michigan, and we'll find out later today regional baseball for Palisade and Fertilemont, but likewise for Montrose and Delta North Fork as well. And that's a look at
what's happening.
All right, so if you got something to complain about today, send that our way today. Also, we want your golfers. We're going to go ahead and start right now. PGA Championship starts tomorrow in Oklahoma, and we'll have Ty from GJ Golf joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll take your golfers today. First come, first serve. Pick your golfer. The member of the pile that has the golfer that finishes the highest at the PGA Championship, you win a wedge from GJ Golf. We'll have more details on that with Ty when he comes in at 8 o'clock this morning. But get your golfers in now. Once again, first come, first served to get your golfer in to win that wedge from GJ Golf, located in Fisher's Marketplace. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Central Florida baseball coach Marty Smith joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the team.
And joining us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he's the coach of the College of Central Florida. It's been 24 years since Marty Smith has brought his Patriots to Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series. He joins us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Marty, I appreciate it. Great to talk with you, sir.
You too, Jim. It's been way too long.
I know. I don't know about you. My hair is a little bit, quite a bit grayer than it was the last time that we certainly saw each other. But congratulations. And I think it speaks to a couple of things. Number one, how tough it is to get a team out of Florida. And also how tough it is just in general to get to this tournament, to get to the national championship that you might think, hey, you know, this is going to happen every year. And your team did it back-to-back years in 97 and 98. But you can never assume, right, that every year it's going to be your year to come to Grand Junction.
Yeah, it's incredibly tough to get into our state tournament. And then once you get into our state tournament, it's incredibly tough to get through our state tournament. In 97-98, we came and kind of thought it was going to be a little easier than it was, and then Jeff Johnson came along and made things a little more difficult for us.
Well, at least this time around, Jeff's going to be here, but to go into the Coaches Hall of Fame, and you're going to be
wait.
Yeah. And I know you're thrilled for him, and of course you're there, part of that group yourself, but to actually, you know, for him to be here to go into the Hall of Fame, but not his Chipola team. It's going to be your Patriots on the field representing the state of Florida.
Yeah, happy for Jeff. Another two good friends are going in. Rick Hitt here from South Florida State was my roommate in college and a great friend for years. And Doug Walbeck from up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it was kind of a really neat thing to get in and get my team in and then also be there for those three guys. And it just all the stars aligned, and really, really happy about what's coming up.
College of Central Florida coach Marty Smith joining us today on the Team Sports Network. The Patriots winning the South Atlantic, used to be called the district, but essentially the Florida champion coming to Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series. I know they did a little tweak, Marty, when it comes to the tournament and everything, the South Atlantic tournament. Did you like those changes? Obviously must be feel pretty good about them, considering your team was able to battle through that bracket to come to Grand Junction.
Yeah, we did a regional format where four teams hosted a best two out of three region the week before, and then those four teams went on to the four-team state final tournament. And a lot easier on your pitching staff. An 18 tournament is just an absolute marathon. It leads itself to pitchers being overused, and that's not a good thing. So an 18 tournament over a five-day period or a four-day period or so, whereas in Grand Junction you have a little bit more time for that big tournament to bring pitchers back and get them the proper rest. So, yeah, I love the format. Obviously, we won it, and I like it because of that. But, you know, there's other reasons to like it, too.
College of Central Florida baseball coach Marty Smith with us today. His team qualifying for the Junior College World Series for the first time in 24 years, and you've got some really talented arms, some really good players on your squad this year, Marty. Ben Chestnut, 11-0 record, 3.39 ERA. Been a really, really talented guy for you, and a guy that, correct me if I'm wrong, COVID guy. So this is what, his third season?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Talk more about Ben Chestnut, because obviously he's become he's one of your best arms in your staff this year.
Yeah, just was our stopper. I mean, I think we won 34 of our last 37, but it seemed like every time we lost, he was coming back and he was the next guy up and just could stop any kind of losing streak that would have started. And just he's going to sign to go to the University of Miami. He just pitches, competes. He's got some more pitches and throws a lot of strikes. Threw a no-hitter back in March. His pitch count in general stays down. Really efficient for us on the mound, and we get innings out of him. And he can just chunk it. He's been up to 92 at the fastball, but it's 89 and 90. He'll touch a 91 a little bit more, and curveball, changeup, slider, and he just really competes. And two other guys on the staff, Tony Landon Ginn and Aaron Combs. Aaron's going to the University of Tennessee. Landon Ginn's going to Campbell University. Both of those guys, Aaron almost stepped up in the tournament as our number one as he took down Chipola. He did not pitch in the regional, so he was the next guy up, and we just started with our third guy. We think we have three number ones that we call our number ones that can pitch, you know, and they're interchangeable because they give us a chance to win every time they are on the mound. So Aaron stepped up and really threw a gem against Chipola in the opening game here in the finals, and Aaron can pitch as well. Aaron, Ben, Landon, all three of those guys have just been horses for us.
Well, and Chestnut, 103 strikeouts, just 27 walks. I mean, some obviously great stuff. Great control, Marty, from yeah. Ben Chestnut. To pound the strikes on the way he does.
Yes, big time. It's really good for the team. They don't spend a lot of time on the field on defense. He gets it done, and we come in and hit. He's been just efficient, really good, pounds the strike zone.
Marty Smith, coach of the College of Central Florida. They've qualified for the Junior College World Series, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And we've talked about your pitchers quite a bit, Marty, but need to talk about your positional guys. Caleb Calley, a tremendous player, Florida State transfer, the Florida College System Activities Association Player of the Year. He broke your school's extra base hits record, an RBI record. Just a tremendous player in Caleb Calley.
Yeah, our three-hole hitter. Elite ball strike. We don't have many power hitters that have gone through our program that have more walks than strikeouts, and he has a lot more walks than strikeouts, almost as many home runs as he does strikeouts. Really a tough out, really knows the strike zone, will take the walk, has a couple good hitters behind him in Victor Castillo and Edric Felix, who will drive him in if he gets on base. And 40 extra bases I think it's 25 doubles, 15, well, now he's up to 16 home runs and 5 triples. Now 6 triples. He hit one in the finals there, and he's legit 6'3", 230 with 5 or 6 triples this year, and just swings a bat, quality of bat every single time. If he doesn't, it seems like if he doesn't walk, he hits the ball hard somewhere, and a lot of those fell for him this year. I think he ended up hitting around 440 and a bunch of home runs and RBIs, and he was our RBI leader until the state tournament. And Edric Felix had a really good tournament. And is now our career RBI leader by 1 or 2 over Caleb. So hopefully they battle that out in Grand Junction, and we'll see who comes out on top there at the end of the year. But I hope they both get a bunch out there. And Caleb's just our guy in the middle of the order that other teams, you know, sometimes walk, but it hurts them because there's two guys really behind him that can really drive him in.
Central Florida Patriots head coach Marty Smith with us today on the Team Sports Network. And Marty, 18 of your 26 guys are from the state of Florida. So obviously you've mined your home state quite nicely when it comes to coming up with talent.
Yeah, that's in general, that's our philosophy. We're going to try to keep as many kids in state as we can. And, you know, there's peppered in from some other states here and there. But in general, we're going to get Florida kids. Yeah.
Marty Smith, the coach of the Central Florida Patriots, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. So, Marty, when you come back to Grand Junction, boy, a lot of things have changed since the last time you were here. The new seats just put in this year at Soplesio Field, and go over and work out of Bergman, depending on what happens with Colorado Mesa's baseball team. You're going to find that facility has changed rather dramatically. But going back to 97-98, the last time you were here, what are some of the memories that come to mind and maybe popped into your mind after you guys, you know, won the South Atlantic and you qualify for Grand Junction? What were a couple things, Marty, that maybe sprung to your mind thinking back to the last time you were here?
Well, I've been doing a lot of thinking about getting back to Grand Junction. I was there in 19 for the Hall of Fame, and I understand there's been even changes since then to the stadium that I can't wait to see. But, no, Jim, I have had a dozen times where I've been dreaming in the middle of the night that I'm back in Grand Junction in the last 24 years. And I wake up and I'm upset because it was just a dream. So those memories are just the atmosphere, the amount of people, the weather, just the excitement and the way the community gets around the event. And then obviously keeping up with it when other teams from Florida have gone out there for the last 24 years to, you know, to see how things have changed, either from the live stream, the video, or listening to you on radio. And the first things were so happy for my team that they get to experience what my teams in 97 and 98 experienced, from the crowds to the, like I said, just the general atmosphere that not only are you playing for a national championship, but it's a great community event and just a spectacle and a baseball career of kids signing autographs that they've tried to, you know, they've wanted to do all their lives, to where they sign so many autographs that they don't want to sign autographs. And I go, yes, you're going to actually get tired of doing that after you've been practicing it for so long. Just things like that. And I talk to Tex Tolman at least 2 or 3 times a year, and he'll check on our team, and we've maintained a good friendship over the last 24 years. And just getting to see Tex as a team, I got to see him in the Hall of Fame deal 2019, but just to go out there with my team and, you know, calling him when we've been pretty close and coming up short, finally get out there and lean on him for some practice fields and just some general conversation to talk about the good old things going on in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Head coach Marty Smith joining us on the Jim Davis Show. You talked about your players and guys that have been with you for 2 or 3 years. You know, I'm pretty sure no one on your team was born the last time Central Florida was out here. And, you know, you've been talking about it. That's the goal. They all know that Grand Junction is the end of the road. That's where they want to end up. But most of them have never experienced it. How much are you looking forward to getting on the ground here and just seeing their faces? Because it's easy for 18, 19-year-old kids to doubt. Like, there's no way it's actually like that, Coach. But you know what it's going to be like when they get here. How exciting is that for you to watch that coming up?
Unbelievable. Just just to see the reaction and the emotion and things like that. We have one guy on our team, David Pereira, our catcher, and big heart and soul of our team. He was there with Miami-Dade last year. And from the moment he got here, he has been sprinkling thoughts into players' heads about what it's like in Grand Junction. So I haven't had to do it as much. All I do is confirm what David tells him with a big smile on my face and say, yes, he's not lying. Yes, this is correct. Yes, it's unbelievable. So we've had that resource of David being with us and telling those stories and probably a lot more stories on the bus and in the locker room and in the apartment or whatever that I haven't heard or told. But David's here, and all I have to do is confirm those stories. So I'm going to be looking forward to seeing all of David's stories that he's told the team, and the team going, yeah, it's true. I can't believe it. And it was pretty neat, obviously. David, we beat Miami-Dade in the final. So he, you know, it was either he or his teammates from last year going back to Grand Junction. And David's a great kid and a great student and just the heart and soul of our team behind the plate. Had a great state tournament, hit a home run, big double. And he's told the stories about Grand Junction. I've just kind of confirmed them with a smile on my face.
Hey, Marty, always a pleasure. It was great when you were out here in 2019 to go into the Coach's Hall of Fame. And so you've got a little bit of a taste of what it's been like with some of the improvements at the ballpark. But I'm thrilled for you to get back here to coach your ball club in the Junior College World Series. Looking forward to seeing you when you get back out here. And of course, it all starts May 28th, the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series on the Team Sports Network. Get your tickets now, online only at JUCOGJ.org. Marty, appreciate it. I know you've got athletic director duties to attend to, so we will see you in very, very soon, and thanks again, Marty.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Look forward to seeing you guys. Can't wait.
Likewise. Take care. Marty Smith, coach of Central Florida. Like you said, it's been out here. It did 2019 when he went to the Coaches Hall of Fame, but to bring the team out here, it's been a while. I want to make a correction. Snead State, this is their first time qualifying.
First timers, look at that.
Yeah, e-host on this was writing up some stuff this morning. And
that's all right.
No, so this Snead State, Alabama, this is their first trip to Grand Junction. We're going to get hopefully get their coach on over the next couple of days. But so, congratulations to Snead State. Mitch Thompson, McLennan, Texas, defending champions, also coming back.
So Marty Smith coached a former Colorado Rocky at Central Florida. I'll give you a couple hints.
Okay.
Didn't start or end. He ended with the Rockies, I guess. Didn't start with the Rockies. Catcher. Big role on the World Series team.
Yorvi Torrealba. Well, we will ask Marty about that when he gets out here.
I just saw that right at the end because I clicked through the link of former Central Florida Pats in the majors.
Beloved figure in Rockies lore, Yorvi Torrealba.
And you, speaking of beloved former Rockies, Gerardo Parra finally hung him up earlier this week.
Really?
Yeah, the baby shark.
Baby shark, He was fun. He brought a lot of energy to that dugout. A lot of fun for the Nationals as well when they won the World Series.
I'm glad he got his. Yeah. That dude deserved it.
He did deserve it. All right, 7:42. Coming up, we'll talk about last night's Avalanche win over St. Louis. Goes to overtime. Colorado gets it done with the Josh Manson goal. We'll have that, but right now it's...
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And speaking of young... Gerardo Parra is not young, but he had flair about him, right? He kind of had a youthful, joyous approach to the game. And a lot of other guys seem to have a whole lot of fun playing baseball. And they're younger players like Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., those type of guys. And then there is the natural criticism of these guys that, you know, you can't go as hard as you go every single time. Acuna Jr., don't need to run full speed into a wall, things like that. And they touched on that on MLB Tonight last night. Harold Reynolds and Dan Plesac about, you got to kind of take the good with the bad with those type of players.
You got to be who it got you to be the star you are. And I play with the first guy, Ken Griffey Jr. He broke his wrist twice. He was hamstrings. But you know what? He's a Hall of Famer because you can only tame it so much. And if you have a guy play soft, then you don't get what you signed up for.
The appeal when you watch an everyday player that's appealing to you, like Nolan Arenado, there's a grittiness about him that's why you're drawn to that kind of player. To tell Arenado on a foul ball that's going by the third baseline, don't run into the net, don't go over there, just let it drop. You're expecting him to go diving into the net and come out with a bloody lip. That's the appeal of that player. And I think if you take that away from the player, you get a guy that you're watching at home going, and he doesn't run all these balls out. Like, yeah, what's going on? Like, hey, short hop. Why don't you go get that ball? One hop the wall. Well, want to keep him safe. You're like, man, I don't know. Like, that's the appeal of that player.
It makes a good point. And I'm on the let the kids play bandwagon.
If they get hurt, they get hurt. You can't ratchet down, can't put a governor
right
on somebody's motor, mm-hmm. on how hard they play.
I mean,
I just think that's wrong thinking.
I agree with Harold Reynolds. Whatever made them so popular, you can't then be like, all right, 90%, fellas. No,
yeah.
You got to go.
Got to go. Got to let them do their thing. We did mention this yesterday when you were out.
Uh-huh.
That Jack Corrigan called his 3,000th Rockies game yesterday.
I heard that on the pregame coming back. Actually, before I wrecked my car.
Before you wrecked your car.
I heard that on the pregame Monday night, because Jesse Thomas's pioneers of the game was Jack Corrigan. And they had Dave Logan, John Miller, a couple others from the Giants. They had very nice messages. Buddy Black included there, too. Yeah. A very nice message is for Jack Corrigan. 3,000th.
Congratulations to Jack.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot of games.
Yeah, there's a lot of games. And
John Miller says he expects him to do 3,000 more.
Oh.
Which will put him in his 90s.
so probably not.
Nothing less. But you know John Miller. Yeah. He's got that sense of humor, and he's fantastic as well.
To me, John Miller's one of the very best
in all of baseball. We got to run. But Greg showed me something that on the at-bat, for those of us who have it, you can listen to the radio feed of the game you're watching. So he's picked up some Brewers games to listen to Uke.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to break that out at some point.
Also, one of the all-time greats.
Fantastic.
All right. Play guy. 7:46. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Get your golfers in now to win that wedge from GJ Golf.
We got a handful.
PGA Championship starts tomorrow. And we'll have Ty from GJ Golf in here in just a little bit. And so get your golfer in now, first come, first served, for your chance to win that wedge from GJ Golf and Fisher's Marketplace. Also, it's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Text in. Text in only with your golfers, by the way. Do not call them in. Text them in. Include your name, first and last. 970-242-1340, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:50. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We'll have Ty from GJ Golf in here a little bit. PGA Championships tomorrow in Oklahoma. Get your golfers in to win a wedge from GJ Golf. Text it in. First come, first serve, 970-242-1340. It's also a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You could win a bottle of Talon Wine today.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
All right, so text it in, 970-242-1340. Avalanche get the win last night. They take on the St. Louis Blues in the first game of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Avs get the win in OT. Gabriel Landeskog with the assist to Josh Manson last night to win in overtime. Here's Avs coach Jared Bednar on this team and its resilience.
I liked our game the whole night. I thought we were resilient there. Obviously, we made a mistake on the penalty kill. We changed four guys, gave them one that was too easy. And it is what it is. You know, we've talked to our team all year long about being resilient and being mentally tough, and we came out and got right back to our game. Didn't capitalize on the power play, but just kept doing what we were doing throughout the course of the 60 minutes, and you know, eventually we felt like we'd have a chance and break them down and get the winner. And our guys believed it. They worked hard for it. I felt like they earned it tonight. I thought we had a lot of really good effort from all of our guys, some guys with some big performances on both sides of the puck, and we get the job done tonight. Now on to the next.
All right, that was kind of the theme last night after the game. Resilience. Here's Gabriel Landeskog on getting the win.
Play really well, and you feel like you deserve to win, but you don't. But tonight we were a real resilient group in there, and felt a lot like game two against Nashville at home, where we felt like we outplayed them, created a lot of scoring chances. Goalie played really good for them tonight, and you know, made some saves that, you know, we felt like we had empty nets, and he stuck a leg out or a hand out, whatever. He played really well. So, but in overtime, you know, you just got to go out there, and we just stressed, just keep playing, keep doing what we're doing. We're creating a lot, and just a matter of time, and we're able to hem them in, and man's put it top shelf.
All right, there's Gabriel Landeskog. Avs, unfortunately, they you know, the Blues are able to capitalize on a power play to knot the game 2-2 with 3:11 left to go. They had a sloppy line change that hurt the Avalanche. I mean, for the first two periods, they were very dominant last night. Josh Manson gets the game winner in overtime. Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, was there last night, and he had some thoughts about the altitude and Comcast situation.
It's terrible for fans, and it's frankly unfathomable on some level that a cable or satellite company would be cutting off this many of its customers who are obviously fans, particularly when the Avalanche are making such a great run. So it is frustrating, and it's very disappointing. I hope so. I hope there's a resolution to it. I think it's gone on far too long.
All right, there's Gary Bettman on the TV situation over in Denver. All right, got just about a minute here before we have to hit a break. We've got Paul on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm good after that awesome Avs win last night. Let me ask you a question. So we're watching Florida and Tampa Bay. It's going into the third period. Avalanche are coming up to the drop the puck time. Obviously, we want to see the Avalanche game. But if Florida goes to OT, are they sticking to the OT game and not showing the Avalanche on TBS or anywhere else? I figure you guys are in the media. Maybe you've got a reason for this, or maybe you've got an answer.
Let's see. They didn't have a TBS baseball game on last night, did they?
Tuesday night, yeah, they would.
Yeah.
They might move that game to, like, the app or True TV to start,
yeah,
or
True
something
TV would
like
probably
that.
Be one of their options.
But they would stick with the main game to its conclusion on TNT.
Yeah, they would not break away. They'd put the crawl at the bottom, start at Avs Blues on True TV, or
and they'll hold the face-off of Avs Blues for a while, but not the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they went to the Avs Blues, and it was 20 seconds into the game, so that was fine. Our only concern was if it went OT, then we're screwed out of watching the first period.
Or you can just listen to it on the radio. You can just listen on the radio, Paul. We don't have to wait for anybody to start on the radio. Hey, appreciate it, Paul.
Go.
Thanks. Go Avs, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in today.
Go Avs.
All right, take care. All right, hopefully we answered Paul's question. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two.